A navy blue BMW 760 and a Porsche Cayenne collide on a Moscow street. The driver of the BMW, 23-year-old Nikolai Kolia Apollo, dies instantly. At his funeral, an unusual gathering forms, not grieving family members, but the world's most notorious spammers, Igor Desp Gusev, Dmitry St. D. Stupin, and Dmitry Google Nechvalod. These men weren't just colleagues, they were architects of a billion-dollar criminal empire hiding behind every Viagra for cheap email you've ever deleted. What follows is the untold story of how spam became a global industry, how it nearly destroyed two former friends, and why the pills advertised in those annoying emails might contain uranium instead of medicine. Bulletproof hosting networks, mostly in Russia and former Soviet states, charge 10 times normal rates, $600 to $800 monthly for one feature. They won't shut you down. The Russian business network pioneered this model with a fake abuse team requiring impossible-to-obtain Russian court orders, appearing legitimate while being untouchable. RBN's origins trace to Alexander Rubotsky, a 22-year-old who partnered with organized crime to create AlphaPay, processing payments for child pornography sites generating nearly $5 million monthly. When rivals launched cyber warfare, he pivoted to hosting, creating RBN under hacker Eugene Flyman Sergenko. By 2007, RBN had become cybercrime's epicenter, until journalist Brian Krebs exposed them in the Washington Post, forcing providers to cut ties. Nearly a year later, Krebs targeted Atrivo, a California provider ignoring law enforcement. His reporting led to Atrivo's disconnection. Shortly after, Krebs received a warning about targeting McColo next. He ignored it. On November 11, 2008, armed with evidence showing McColo-hosted servers controlling the world's top five spam botnets, Krebs contacted their internet partners. Within hours, McColo vanished. Global spam volumes instantly plummeted 75%. 2 days after Krebs exposed Pavel Vrublevsky, chairman of Russia's anti-spam working group, as running a pharmaceutical spam operation, he received threatening emails referencing his wife. Vrublevsky denied involvement and threatened a $100,000 defamation lawsuit. Then, anonymous hackers sent Krebs massive leaks of ChronoPay's internal documents. The sheer volume proved authenticity, tens of thousands of emails, accounting records, and phone conversations detailing ChronoPay's involvement in rogue pharmacy and fake antivirus operations. Vrublevsky then began calling Krebs daily, claiming this helped evade surveillance. Despite his insults, he was disarmingly charming, constantly sharing anecdotes about power brokers and cybercriminals. After a month, Krebs realized Vrublevsky was feeding him information about other criminals to divert attention from himself. Meanwhile, an anonymous source called Boris, likely Igor Gusev, Vrublevsky's rival, sent massive troves of compromising ChronoPay data. Krebs found himself with gigabytes of internal data from two of the world's largest spam operations, caught in the Pharma Wars, a bitter feud between former partners that would ultimately destroy both empires. Using leaked data from over a million customers, Krebs interviewed dozens of spam pharmacy buyers. The primary driver was affordability. Americans face the world's highest prescription drug prices, with brand-name drugs jumping 25% in 2012. Many sought discretion from embarrassment or to hide purchases from spouses, typically those self-treating venereal diseases or ordering impotence drugs. Some with medical knowledge bypassed doctor visits. Kimberly, a nurse struggling with fertility, ordered Clomid online rather than consulting a specialist. Instead of having to pay a doctor tons of cash to explain something I already knew how to do, I opted to do it myself, she explained. Most concerning were customers purchasing controlled substances. Goran, a 41-year-old former POW with severe back injuries, spends $250 to $500 monthly on hydrocodone and tramadol after doctors stopped prescribing pain medication. Customers making more than five orders had an 80 to 85% chance of purchasing tramadol or soma pills worth $5 on the street, but yielding $1,300 profit per bottle if resold. Painkillers and restricted drugs generated 48% of RX Promotions' revenue, suggesting abuse drove substantial demand. Marcia Bergeron's 2006 death exposed spam pharmacy dangers. The 57-year-old ordered from what appeared to be a Canadian pharmacy, but her pills contained uranium and lead. She suffered hair loss, blurred vision, nausea, and extreme fatigue before dying just after Christmas. GlasMed marketed drugs as Canadian, but most shipped from unregulated facilities in India, China, and Pakistan. Studies show 8 to 10% of drugs imported to the U.S. are counterfeit or substandard, fueling a $75 billion global market. UK resident Deborah G was hospitalized after her GlasMed weight loss pills, containing poisons, cement, and talcum powder, caused depression and stomach illness. Neither the FDA nor pharmaceutical companies comprehensively test rogue pharmacy drugs. Testing costs, constantly changing suppliers, and fear that results might show many rogue drugs are chemically similar to approved medications all deter investigation. With over 41,000 active online pharmacies and only 200 legitimate ones, consumers face a 99% chance of using an unapproved site with no objective safety data. By October 2011, leaked SpamIt data exposed the world's top spammers through a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet revealing their real identities. Software seller was Dmitry Nechvolod, operator of Cutwhale, the largest spam botnet at the time. He earned over $175,000 promoting pharmacy sites while running a legitimate software firm. By 2008, Cutwhale controlled 125,000 infected computers, sending 16 billion spam messages daily. Another major player, using nicknames Cosma, Tarelka, and Bird, earned over $3 million in 3 years. His Rustock botnet infected 150,000 PCs, sending 30 billion spam messages daily at its peak. He lived lavishly, once mentioning he'd been mugged by thugs targeting his $100,000-plus Porsche Cayenne. SpamIt's second most successful affiliate, Jira, generated over 80,000 pharmaceutical sales, earning $2.7 million. Evidence suggests he masterminded the Grum botnet, capable of sending 18 billion emails daily before its 2012 takedown. These weren't shadowy criminals. They drove luxury cars and viewed themselves as legitimate entrepreneurs. By summer 2008, SpamIt and GlasMed generated nearly $6 million monthly. Yet co-owner Igor Desp considered leaving cybercrime for legitimate work. During a Spanish vacation, his partner Dmitry Stupin reacted with frustration. Then urgent news arrived. Pavel Rublevsky's partner had bribed police to investigate Gusev for money laundering. This sparked the Pharma Wars, a costly grudge match where each spent fortunes bribing officials to destroy the other. Gusev was thoughtful and frugal, a golden boy from wealth. Rublevsky was vulgar, impulsive, and extravagant. Despite warnings, Gusev underestimated his former partner's resolve. By 2010, Gusev faced FSB investigation. He attempted to bribe officials by sponsoring Russia's Volleyball Federation for $500,000, hoping to leverage its head, former FSB director Nikolai Petrushev. As Gusev explained, "In Russia, sports is not really a business. It's a way of getting business settled." Gusev hired a lawyer promising to incarcerate Rublevsky for $1.5 million. In summer 2010, thousands of ChronoPay emails leaked, exposing Rublevsky's activities. Rublevsky retaliated by paying a hacker to leak the SpamIt and GlasMed customer database to American authorities. Gusev fled Russia, launching a blog documenting Rublevsky's past. The final blow came from researchers led by Professor Stefan Savage, who mapped money laundering networks through hundreds of test buys. Visa's crackdown devastated the industry. One spammer lamented, "Fucking Visa is burning us with napalm." In June 2011, Rublevsky fled to the Maldives after learning Moscow prosecutors were preparing charges for a cyber attack on Aeroflot systems. Russian authorities convinced him to return, then arrested him. Leaked chats revealed Gusev and Stupin had paid $1.5 million for the prosecution. Despite questionable evidence, all defendants were found guilty in July 2013. Wroblewski received 2.5 years, but was unexpectedly released in June 2014, possibly connected to Russia's need for a national payment system after Visa and MasterCard stopped servicing Russian banks following Ukraine sanctions. The spam empire collapsed, not from law enforcement, but from greed and betrayal. Behind every spam email was a billion-dollar war zone where fortunes were made, lives destroyed, and two men proved that even in cybercrime's lawless world, betrayal remains the deadliest weapon.